Mechanism, which is on forced alignment for understanding language varieties by four authors, two of whom are with us, Lisa Johnson and Mariana Di Paolo.
Good afternoon. The problem that we're addressing today is a problem that's common to both sociolinguistics, especially sociophonetics, and language documentation. Can you all hear me? Okay. And that is efficiently processing large corpora of recorded speech. Processing recordings for acoustic analysis, as we all know, is extremely time-consuming. By some estimates, manual phone level alignment may take up to 800 times the duration of the audio that you're attempting to align. And there's an example of alignment in case you don't know what force alignment ends up looking like. Today we'll focus on how these similar processing problems may share similar solutions. The time and cost associated with processing audio recordings can limit the amount and kinds of data analyzed and even the kinds of questions explored. Such limitations are especially problematic when they inhibit work on underdocumented languages. Is there a way to expedite this work? In recent years, new tools have been developed to time-align orthographic transcriptions to recorded speech at the word and phone level. These force alignment tools use speech recognition technology to create a statistical model associating phonetic symbols to speech signals. Sociophonetics has benefited greatly from the use of force alignment technology. That technology has been developed primarily and sometimes only for majority languages like English, Spanish, French, Arabic, with large extant corpora available. Chinese is one of them as well. There's some examples there. Recently, two digital tools developed for force alignment of underdocumented languages from the McGill University Prosody Lab, Prosody Lab Aligner and the Montreal Forced Aligner, have made a real difference, and we're going to be speaking about both of them today. The key features of these is that they don't require a pre-trained model or a large corpus, so it doesn't matter which language you start with, and it doesn't matter how large of a recording sample you have. Within about an hour, it will work. And it also allows model training and alignment using the same data set, which is also very advantageous for underdocumented languages. We are interested in this because we are part of the Tongan Ethnolinguistic Study. It is a large-scale ethnographic and linguistic study of post-migration Tongans, Tongan Americans in the United States. We are particularly interested in the formation of new post-migration ethnolinguistic identities. We are collecting longitudinal cross-sectional data, and some of this data collection includes crowdsourcing that leads to huge data sets, and we must expedite the linguistic analysis in order to make progress on the work. And what we are interested in is identifying potentially important linguistic variables in these newly formed U.S. Tongan American communities. And in order to do that, we have to understand linguistic variation in Tonga that is very ununderstood at this point, ununderstood. So we're interested in developing Tongan sociolinguistic variables, varieties of, and variety of the Tongan language, and also varieties of English spoken in Tonga. And we are also interested in bringing all that together with linguistic variation in the ambient English of the Salt Lake Valley. We think that it's best to use the same kind of digital tools for English as in Tongan. It makes it more seamless, and there are other good things. Lisa will now take over.
Okay, I'm going to briefly explain how Prosody Lab Aligner works. I'll call it PLA just because, you know, it saves me a little bit of time and you'll know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to walk through the steps, tell you what is required, and then show you examples of what we used in our tests, and then I'll hit the highlights of the findings, the results of our tests. I'm going to do this pretty quickly, but we'll be able to answer questions at the end if there are any questions. Okay, so Prosody Lab Aligner is really a set of Python scripts that accesses HTK in the background. And HTK is a speech recognition software. It's designed with laboratory data in mind, so it works best on short files of about a single utterance per audio file. And it's, you know, laboratory speech is usually quite clean. It comes with a pre-trained North American English model, but it, crucially for what we're talking about, it allows you to train your own models with your own data. It's been used on a lot of languages, as you can see there. Okay, so let's talk about what you need to get started. So the first thing you need to do is download the software. It also requires you to download some other tools. So just be aware of that. It's a few steps. This doesn't have a fancy slick interface or a web interface. You've got to do a little bit of work on the back end, but it does work out. They give instructions for Mac and Linux, but we did all of our tests on a PC, so we can tell you that that does work as well. Okay. So some things that we learned. It can be a little tricky. We did run into some bugs, but the developer was very accessible and very helpful when we ran into problems. And if you happen to have a programmer handy, it doesn't hurt. But the developer is accessible, and so you could probably do it without having your own person nearby. First thing you need, audio files. WAV format, that's pretty basic. The next thing you need is the transcriptions. These aren't time-aligned, they're simple text files. This is their example. It's a little bit hard to read, but it's one line. It looks like it's wrapping, but there are no carriage returns at the end, so it's just a simple text file. Next, you need a configuration file. This kind of tells the program what it's looking for, and the key part of this is this phone set. You can see this English example uses ARPABET. It's based on the CMU dictionary. So that tells you what phones will be used in the pronunciation. That goes along with your dictionary file. It uses the phones from your configuration file. Here's a North American English example. I think I've got it zoomed in. You can see, it's a little bit hard to see, but you can see they've given alternate pronunciations for a couple of the words here. They're just listed as separate items. So you can program that in if you're aware of those. Okay, so let us tell you about what we did. We recorded 40 speakers in Tonga. I included this picture so you could see the kind of environment we were working in. Chickens, pigs, cars, wind, church bells, all of that's in the background. We had lavalier mics, and so the voice signal is good, but there is stuff in the background, and we didn't know how well this would work. So the main thing we're testing is the effects on this background noise. So we have two sets of audio files. The ones we're calling dirty, they include all those background noises. We only use Audacity to isolate the word list that we're actually using right here and to eliminate extraneous conversation. What we're calling clean files have been edited extensively to remove all these tokens that may have interference from the background noise, get rid of background noise between tokens, and so forth. So I'm going to continue to say clean and dirty. That's what I'm going to be referring to. Okay, this is what our transcriptions look like. We're using standard orthography for Tongan with the exception of the glottal stop character because the apostrophe or quote messes up codes, so you can't use that when you're using codes. So we use the IPA there. Here is our configuration file. It's based on the English one, but you see we have our Tongan phone set. There's an NG digraph, so you can do those. There's no problem with that. You just have spaces between phones. And here's an example from our dictionary. We just based our pronunciation on orthography for now because Tongan orthography is fairly transparent, and we don't know enough about variation now to put in alternate pronunciations. So this is with very minimal work, what we're doing here. You can be a lot more sophisticated. Okay, we did run into some issues that we were able to work through, but if you have questions, I'd be happy to go over some of these things. If you have an extra carriage return at the end of a file or an extra space or a hidden byte order mark, these things can cause problems, and the software just stops working. So then you have to kind of troubleshoot it. So that is an issue with this software that's a little tricky. And your file may be adding TXT extensions, even if you already have a .lab extension on it. So you have to be able to look for some of those things and troubleshoot it. Okay, so we'll look at the training process and the alignment process. So training is where you create the acoustic model, which will then be used to make the alignments. It requires pairs of audio files and transcription files in the same folder. Those files will have the same names, just different extensions, so that it matches them up. Tells a little bit about how it's done, but the key here is that the process is started by entering the command line into terminal if you're using a Mac or into your command prompt if you're on a PC. Okay, so again, some issues were a little bit tricky. You want to make sure that your syntax is properly spelled out and your files are organized properly. We did run into an error that just wasn't documented anywhere. We had to Google, but that error had never come up before apparently, so it's you probably won't hit that. One thing that I would like to share is that if it finds out-of-dictionary words in your transcriptions, the process will completely stop, and then it will give you a list of out-of-dictionary words. That's useful because you can use that to fix your transcription or to fix your dictionary. The problem is it doesn't tell you which files contain those out-of-dictionary words, so you need to be able to have some other technique for finding those. So, again, if you have a question about that, I've got some advice on how to do that. Okay. I went over those solutions already. This table summarizes the series of tests we performed, and we were adjusting different parameters. Again, our main interest was seeing the difference between using clean files and dirty files at different stages of the process But we did adjust some other parameters as well. We won't really be discussing those today. We'll just be talking about the most important findings. Okay, let's see. Okay. So that was the training process. The alignment process takes the acoustic model that you created in the last step, and it creates the time-aligned text grids. Again, it requires the pairs of audio files and transcriptions, and again, you're typing in a command in your terminal or your command prompt. Sorry, I lost the word there for a minute. This one's interesting. We notice once you enter the command, it seems to be doing nothing, so it was a little confusing. A tip, it is, something's happening in the background. I went to Task Manager, and then I could see those processes happening, so I just knew it was working. But just be aware, it may be aligning, and it's just not giving you any feedback. We had a weird thing where the Unicode characters displayed fine on the word tiers of the output, but not on the phone tiers. We got a code instead. Not a big problem, because the codes match up with the Unicode characters, but just an interesting thing that we never really got an explanation for. We'll skip through that. Okay, so this table summarizes the alignment tests. Again, major focus is on using clean and dirty files in different stages. Now let's just look at some examples. So we're gonna look at some text grid comparisons. I've got screenshots here and a little bit of audio. Let me just play this for you so you can hear what it sounds like. Get up here. Okay, that wasn't as loud as I thought it would be. Let me try that one more time.
Kotoa, pea, manu.
Okay, now if you look at the signal, you can see that the top alignment does a pretty good job. It's catching our stops quite well. It's seeing the vowels. The bottom one's totally messed up. The top one was trained using only clean files in the training data. The bottom was trained using only dirty files. So you can see that having clean data, this makes sense, but having clean data makes a big difference in training the model, what we're looking at. Again, we're using long sound files. This could be 5 minutes long. It probably would work better if you're using the short ones, but this is the kind of data we have, and we want to be able to see if it's useful. Okay, so that's at the beginning of an audio file. The same audio file at the end shows... Oh, hold on. Okay, let me do this. Okay, this is the end of the same recording, so I'll just play this for you.
Hi.
Okay, again, the top alignment's good. The bottom one is still off, so the dirty one just didn't work at all. This is another one where... the file to be aligned is a dirty file. Again, using the clean model worked better than using a dirty model, even though the alignment is with a dirty file. So. Okay, so you can kind of hear that. There's not a lot of background noise in that example, but there is background noise in the file itself. So using the clean model for training was better in both cases. Okay, so I've shown you some screenshots. If you just randomly opened, you would see those sorts of comparisons, but we wanted a quantitative comparison. And so to assess quantitatively how these were different, we're making comparisons between two sets of alignments, and each of these bars represents one comparison. And what we're looking at here is the Euclidean distance of F1 and F2 between the two sets of alignments. So each bar shows one comparison between two alignments, and the big bars mean there's a big difference or a big effect in changing that parameter, and the small bar means there's a little bit of effect. Now, some of these are comparing two really bad alignments, so I'm just going to get rid of those because we only want good alignments, right? Because we want to do good data analysis. Okay, so I'm just going to highlight some things here. These first two comparisons show that cleaning up the files used in training had a very large effect on the quality of the alignments. Okay, this one shows that including dirty files along with clean files in the training data had a moderate effect, so it made it a little bit worse. Okay, so having the dirty files included with the clean files in the model. We won't talk about this one. This is where we looked at using the same data to train the model as to align. So at first we're seeing these big differences between clean and dirty, and we're thinking, well, maybe it's because it's seeing the exact same files, because we had two unique sets of clean and dirty. So we had a comparison where we took out the five files to be aligned out of the training data and just compared those. There's a very small difference there. So using all the files is better, and it doesn't, but there's very little difference. Must have skipped through that text grid when we were going. Okay, then we also wanted to compare the difference between the PLA results and what a human aligner might do. So we took a 60-word sample of the good alignment that I've been showing you, and then we did hand corrections to it. So we had two human aligners doing it. So this one is PLA versus human one, then PLA versus human two, and then that's human one versus human two. Might be kind of hard to see from back there. So a couple things to point out. We have the greatest variance on the edges of the words, which makes sense. Going to silence is a bit tricky, especially because we're seeing things like vowel devoicing. It's kind of hard to find where the word boundaries are. But that means that the internal boundaries are much closer too. This is measured in milliseconds. So if you look at the averages, notice that the average differences are similar, whether we're talking about the difference between two human aligners or between the machine alignment and human alignments. And that's all within 20 to 30 milliseconds on the averages. Okay, I'm going to skip through this because we already hit those points. I want to be able to talk about Montreal forced aligner, which we discovered, somebody told us about it, after we had done all these other tests. It's similar. You enter a command in a similar way. It's easier to download and get started. It has a different underlying text recognition software, and the process is a little bit different. It's made at the same lab. There are McGill people here. You might be able to ask them some questions. We found key advantages to using MFA versus PLA. One, it accounts for the interspeaker differences by considering speaker ID during the acoustic model training. So we feel like that's a real advantage. Also, you can use multiple speakers aligned in the same files. You can do it without a dictionary if your orthography is transparent, which will save us a lot of time in the end. Also, if it hits unknown words, it doesn't crash. It just makes the list and marks that as unknown, which can speed up the process a lot. It accepts two kinds of inputs, so the text file, which I've already showed you, or you can use a text grid input where you've got loose boundaries around utterances. You can see we have several speakers here. Loose boundaries around utterances. This is your input. Your output looks like this, where you've got word and phone boundaries placed in there. You can do aligning and training all in one step or just skip right to alignment. Okay, so we did some tests here. Just want to play a couple of these. This is actually connected speech from a reading passage, and it did a really good job. We'll just play this. Okay, so this is harder than the word list that we were using, but it did a good job aligning them. This one in particular I want to point out because the K in this Fakatautau, you don't hear it in the audio and you don't see it in the spectrogram, but the aligner found it and it didn't mess up all the segments afterwards. Let me just play this. So it's kind of Fakatautau. There's no K in there that you're really hearing. So it did a good job of getting those things. And here's... this is a little odd one. We accidentally put in a really bad audio file in our data, and it still found words. I'm going to play this. Okay, you can hardly hear the speech. You would never analyze that, but it worked. I mean, it still found word boundaries, so we thought that was pretty good. Okay, so the summary is the quality is really good, especially with MFA. It makes good alignments with the long recordings, which we want to use. And it preserves that context. We like having the whole context rather than isolating the tokens. And it's much more efficient. Preparing these files was a lot faster for us because we started in Elan and just exported. So it was much better that way. And being able to use multiple speakers and to be able to do it without a dictionary will save us a lot of processing time in the long run as well. Okay, so.
Okay, to sum up now. Now, one thing I want to say something about is that a hand aligning... hand aligning these files took an undergraduate something like, cleaning up the files took an undergraduate almost an entire semester to do the 40 lists.
He only did 21.
He only did 21. It took a whole semester of work. Now think about that. Doing what we did took a few hours. So you might think that this was hard to do, but it is worth every single piece time that hour that you put into learning it. Okay, so efficiency was incredible. Force alignment can greatly reduce the time required to prepare files for acoustic analysis. It is both possible and efficient to force align field recordings, even with background noise. The MFA does not require you to remove all the background noise because you could use loose text grids around it. The amount of time saved will vary by language and the type of analysis planned, but if you've got a language with a fairly transparent orthography, or if the phonology is relatively transparent, you can get times like we got times. Force alignment may improve general consistency and replicability, which I can't say. reliability and validity, right? Because what the force alignment does is allow you to find things that you don't know how to listen for, because you, especially in underdocumented language, because you don't know what's out there to listen for. So this actually groups interesting sounds and helps you narrow your focus and focus on things that your own regular ears don't hear necessarily to start with. So it's necessary to make manual boundary adjustments of text grids, but that actually turned out to be positive, because in doing that, you really dig deep into your data. It's already given you a preliminary segmental boundary analysis. You can go in there and see exactly why it didn't work, and that helps you hear better. So in the Dongan data, some of those initial K's before sounds like O had three or four stop bursts. Now, those are before O's and some other vowels, but not before E. So that helps you focus on something that might be particular to Tongan that, as an English speaker, Italian speaker, I would not otherwise have paid attention to. But it leads you to furthering your analysis quicker. And for an underdocumented language, we need to speed this process up. So that's it. Yeah.
Wonderful, congratulations. I'm interested in the input. You said you need some prerequisites like the configuration file that you have where you had your alphabet, mm-hmm. or writing conventions, but then also a dictionary, which would have a spelling out or a separation of the occurring words into the phonemes, basically, or the representation of phonemes. How are those generated? Is this included in the time that you need? Because you said that the process stops if you find a word which is not in the dictionary. That means you have to have all words in the dictionary? Is that so?
Right. So that's one of the reasons the MFA is much faster, because it can do it without a dictionary. So the configuration file, you can take their template and just replace it with your phones. The dictionary, you have to give it. So we were working with a word list, so that we have a very small dictionary because it was only those words that we put on the list. But it did take some time to put together. And even though we didn't put alternate pronunciations, you know, you've got the words and the spaces between the phones. So we were looking at a very long process when we get to analyzing the interview data, where you've got all kinds of stuff going on. But because in MFA we can actually do it without a dictionary, it will do this process for us. Okay. It will take it and spread it out. Now, we won't be able to use the NG digraph because it needs to have... it needs the single things. So, but that'll be easy. We'll just replace that with, you know, with an IPA character in the first place, and then it will be able to create the dictionary and align it, which will save us a ton of time.
Yes. May I have a follow-up question? You mentioned among the many tools that you have had a look at, the mouse, web mouse tool. And I'm looking here at a paper of colleagues of us who did test the mouse technology for undocumented languages, mm-hmm. right out of the box. And they tested it for 6-7 different languages from different families, some with very complex phonology and phonetics. And they got astonishing results of force alignment, even over an hour of text being more or less accurate. So did you test that?
We didn't test WebMouse. Yeah, we didn't test WebMouse. The WebMouse, if you go online to the WebMouse site, it lists specific languages that you can use it for. Mostly they're European languages.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not available, but they didn't seem to have that same web interface for, you know, for your own language.
Yeah.
But we have not talked with those people. For these others, we've talked with the developers and gotten answers, and so it's possible that would work just as well. One of the points we want to make is this is a reality. You can do this. There are some tools out there. You can do this for your language. One of these may work better than others, but you don't have to just say, oh, it's a small language. We don't have a lot of data. We're going to have to hand align it. You don't. And maybe WebMouse would be another option.
Okay, I will point you at the references.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that was at the Elbert conference a couple years ago.
Last Elbert, yeah.
The last one, okay.
Yeah, and what happens is that every few months something changes in these, so you have to keep tracking it. It could be that it works now, but it didn't when we started the process. that we could use it now, but we couldn't have when we started the process. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is all freeware. Everything we've talked about is free. You do need to have the technical knowledge to make it work, but that is a small cost and small amount of time compared to everything else it does for you. So it's worth it.
And you don't have to be a programmer. You can be a regular linguist, get a little bit of help, and do it.
This is really great, and obviously I haven't seen many applications of what we just talked about. but I was wondering, so you spent a lot of time talking about the Prosody Lab Aligner, and then switched over to the MFA, which from this side of the room seems like, well, why would we even bother with the PLA?
That's right.
If the MFA works that much better. Is there some...
That would be our recommendation at this point. When we submitted the abstract, we had only tested PLA, but we thought it wouldn't be quite fair for us to come and only talk about that one.
And when we started the entire process of testing PLA, I don't believe that MFA was available. So we start, that's what I'm saying. You have to keep, if you don't start your project for a month or so, look again.
Yes.
Because this stuff is moving really, really fast, and it's very important for everybody to share findings as soon as you have them.
And the MFA
is moving really fast.
Sorry. The MFA is under active development, and so there are things that will improve on that as well. I was talking to the developer very recently. He hopes to have a web interface, so this could be more like what FAVE does for English. It's not there yet, but they are working on it now, whereas the Prosody Lab Aligner, I think, is more static.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. How much data then do you need to train this?
So in the Prosody Lab Aligner, they suggest at least an hour, which is not really that much. We did different models of whether we were using clean data, dirty data, but overall we had 41 recordings. People were reading a word list of 130 to 180 words, and they were reading it either two or three times. We had some adjustments in the field. So that's how many we used it. But some of the models we trained with just clean were only 21 of those speakers. And I had the amount of time on here, I think.
It isn't very much time. And what's wonderful about it, 1 hour of recording is not very much. That means that a lot of legacy data out there can be used to do this. And it could speed up the analysis of legacy data. So if you even got an hour, you could probably make it work.
Just wondering if you've considered untrained alignment. Cross-language alignment where there's no training data.
I know that there is one example. Doug Whalen and a group used an English model on, I can't remember which language, but a language that was quite different from English. And they wrote
American
a paper.
Indian language.
Yeah.
This is what WebMouse does. It's completely untrained.
You
just put your audio file and your text file, and it will do the alignment out of the box without any training at all. Mm-hmm. So you really need to have a look at that.
Yeah, and the Decanio Whalen paper is very good. They go through and say where it did a good job and where it had problems. They looked at between these particular phones, it was better than others. And obviously it makes sense where that language was similar to English, it did a better job than where that language was quite different. So being able to train for that language in particular in the long run should be useful. But one of the tests I wanted to do that we never got to, I wanted to run the English model and compare it to our alignments we got from our pre-trained from our trained Tongan model. I haven't compared those alignments, but that's something we could do as well. In some cases, if you've got a language that's quite close to what you're working with, a pre-trained model in another language could work well. If you're going to go back through and check it anyway, it's a matter of where you put your time and what's going to be most valuable when you're answering your research questions.
Are there problems with cascading errors? That if it makes a mistake in one place, that leads to more mistakes, leading to more mistakes, and from that point forward, it's just wrong.
We did see that where we had the dirty data using the Prosody Lab Aligner. Again, we were using these long files because we like to keep the word list all together. If you broke it up word by word, you would probably get better results. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it messed up at the very beginning. It never got on. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really bad the whole time through. But on the other ones where we had a basically good alignment, we didn't see those problems. So maybe one boundary was a little weird, and you're like, why did it miss that nasal? Why is it too far over into the vowel? But it wouldn't cause problems that perpetuated throughout the recording.
And the cascading problems were particularly true for the dirty files. If you don't remove screen doors slamming and things like that, it reads it as a stop burst or something. And then after that, the world falls apart.
Yeah.
So you may need to remove some noises, but this is totally worth doing.
And the caveat there is it was important to clean the files that you were training on, but not as important to clean the files that were being aligned. And then again, if you're using the MFA and you can give it text grid input, you're effectively cleaning it by putting your loose boundaries around the words, because you're not telling it to look at the screen door slamming. You know, you're telling it to ignore that. And so that's one of the reasons the MFA does such a better job. And again, for workflow, if you're already doing transcriptions in something like a LON, that's much faster than having convert it to a text and then say, well, I need to put this in capitals or whatever, I need to strip out punctuation. MFA just does that, and so it's very streamlined.
Great, well, let's
the actors you're talking about, they have a way of, say, having a threshold that you can set, so if it's not quite sure about an alignment, it can drop it out, maybe get over the cascading problem he's talking about.
There are some settings that you can play with. One of the things, we adjusted some, but not all of them, just to see what the effects would be. For example, you can tell it how many epochs, so kind of how many times it goes back and looks at things over the training process. We increased that a lot, got no appreciable difference that was worth the time. The other thing we changed was the target rate, which basically meant instead of sampling every every tenth of a second, it would take measurements every 12.5, you know, whatever like that. We made some adjustments like that, but we haven't played around with all the settings. There's nothing really clear from the outset, I think, on either of them that says, play with this in order to try to make adjustments. But as I said, the developers on both of these were very responsive, and so whenever I came across a question and I said, hey, I'm running into this, or this is something I'd like to try to do, what do you think? I got a good response, and they were really good at working with me. So I feel like if we asked that question, we could get a good answer. With MFA, it ended up not being an issue because we eliminated the dirty effects by just putting the loose boundaries. And I did it two ways on that one. With the word list, in one, I went through and put the loose boundaries around each word because I had already done it that way anyway. And on the other one, I had them in like 20-second intervals, and they both did a pretty good job.
With MFA, one of the slides that we showed was the reading passage, which means hardly any silences. And what was really wonderful about that is it didn't create any kind of cascading problem whatsoever. Yeah. It aligned through the entire reading passage, and that's pretty amazing. It was pretty fabulous. Yeah.
Even when we couldn't hear a K in the audio and we couldn't see the K in the spectrogram, it didn't mess up the rest of the word. It was looking at the phones around it, and it saw that AKA sequence, and it marked that correctly.